was the first time we even met when I came on your and Fran's radio show? Had we met before then?
No, before that. I think we met on Twitter or Facebook. And then we invited you onto the show. But it feels like I've known you for longer than that, even though it's been a year.
I think the first time we finally met in person was at the anti-gerrymandering Fair Maps rally in May.
No, before that.
Was it?
We all had dinner. Remember?
I think
we all had dinner at Tornado Room. That was before.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyways, so I would love for people to hear a little bit more about your story and how you're not a I should both first say we are both Madison West Regents. And we got very excited. So as is Francesca Hong, go Regents. I have such a soft spot for Madison West. We went 10 years apart, but you were not. I was born in Madison. You were not born in Madison. You were born in Sudan. And so here, I would love to hear more about your family's story and how they picked Wisconsin. But then also getting to, I'm really interested in the bigger question of brain drain in Wisconsin, brain drain in Milwaukee. Madison, Dane County is actually doing okay because I think that's the only county that actually grew in the last 10 years. But as someone who chose to stay and is choosing to stay in Madison and in Wisconsin, why that is? That's a lot of different questions. So let's just start with a little bit more background on who you are.
Okay. Well, we were talking about camels before during the break. And so the reason I have such, you know, insight and expertise is because I grew up on a small farm in Sudan by the Nile, where my parents and grandparents were sorghum farmers. And so we lived there until about 6 or 7. When I was 6, we immigrated here. But my father won the diversity visa lottery in the 90s, I believe. He worked at the French bank in Sudan. His friends were like, hey, we're going to apply for this really cool thing. And my dad was like, this is a one in a billion chance. So I'm not coming. And then they peer pressured him and he was the only one who won, which is kind of crazy. And so the diversity visa program is, you know, one of those really great things about America, where I don't know the history of it, but it's intended to diversify the United States. You go through a really rigorous kind of application process and vetting process, but it takes place in countries all over the world. It happens yearly all the time. I know a couple of people who have also gotten it, but it's been a really cool way for us to, you know, immigrate from Sudan, where, you know, third world country, war. We weren't necessarily refugees, but we certainly were, you know, escaping a lot of hardship there. And so when we came after my father, because it takes a little bit of time to process all that stuff, he had already established himself in Madison. So I still remember my first day from the Dane County Regional Airport and being like, there are so many trees here. Like, it's insane.
Oh, wow. How old were you? How old were you?
I was 6.
Okay.
6-ish. Yeah. So it's been a while, but it's definitely informed a lot of who I've become now, especially with politics. Sudanese culture, we are Muslim, but it's progressive in a lot of ways. And women were in parliament, I believe, before women got the right to vote here in America. And so my parents and family have always encouraged kind of, you know, saying my opinion and being engaged with politics. PBS taught me English. My parents would put on like Jim Lehrer at 6 p.m. every day and like, I mean, I grew up with Here and Now, and so here I am now.
And how did he choose Madison, Wisconsin?
He had a few brief stints in Virginia and Fort Collins because it was Colorado State University, and they had a really great Islamic studies program. So he's an academic, my father. And Madison, I believe, someone reached out to him about a job. He was a journalist here for a number of years, and Al Jumaa magazine, which he was the editor of, was based here in Madison. So it's been our home ever since. It's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Wisconsin out of all people. Yeah. And like when we go back home, you know, people ask me like, where are you from? They don't know what Wisconsin is. So you have to geographically pick the closest city. So you're like, oh, outside of Chicago.
Do they know Is there any other cultural symbols? Do they know the Packers?
Well, no, actually, the one time, this is mind-blowing to me, in 2011, so we moved to Fort Collins, Colorado for 3 years, kind of when the whole Act 10 thing was happening, and we happened to fly home to Sudan during the summer for summer vacation, or it was during that time. We were there for a year during high school, so I only did 3 years of high school, two at West, but I did a whole year in Sudan during Act 10. And the protest at the Capitol made it to our small village in Sudan. And my cousins were asking me about it. They're like, what's happening in America? And I was like, is that Wisconsin? So, like, I think that is the one connection that will probably ever be there.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Y'all made a lot of noise here.
I wasn't here at that time either. I was living in D.C. In my last semester of college, I was interning there. And I remember because I went to school in California and it was going on 8 years. I hadn't lived in Wisconsin and I was living in DC and I remember seeing the protests. I was like, what the heck's going on? And so little did I know that I would learn so much about it 10 years later. But then, all right. So then you graduated from Madison West. You decided to go to University of Wisconsin-Madison, which you graduated 3 years ago.
Yes. And so I ran for office while I was a student there.
Yes. And so what was that like?
I think as an immigrant, you're kind of certainly around political issues. My parents were like, yeah, at home, like, you know, your opinion is what it is. And then it's like outside, a lot of immigrants treat American politics kind of like something that we're not included in, or that, you know, we don't have a voice in, because we have to be so grateful for the opportunity, you know, that this country has given us, which is incredibly true. And so there is that secondhand citizenship that comes from whatever kind of immigrant phobia, xenophobia that is kind of, you know, put on you by American society. And so this idea of the Capitol being accessible to people that look like me, or, you know, young Black Muslim immigrant girls, wasn't something I ever conceptualized until I worked for Next Gen Wisconsin, which was a youth activism, voter turnout, nonpartisan org, where we got people out to vote in Madison at UW. And so from that, I was able to go into the Capitol and literally see people that look like me interning. And so it was like, oh, like, I really don't need permission to lead or to have a voice, especially in places in my community where we grew up, right, low income. And I saw this failure of leadership or this absence of leadership. And so it all kind of, I mean, I wasn't thinking about it when I decided to run or get involved, but it seems like every step from the moment I immigrated was leading me towards that path anyways.
That's really interesting. And so that kind of leads me to my next question, because I think, myself included, when you graduate college, especially a really great university like Madison, the opportunities and the desire to go to the bigger stage. So I guess if you wanted to do politics, the amount of people who end up moving to DC, or, you know, I graduated in Berkeley, so I went to San Francisco, and people kind of, a lot of grads go to Chicago from Madison, you know, and they gravitate towards bigger cities where there's more jobs or the higher stakes or bigger industries or whatever. And so what was the motivation to stay in Madison instead of go to DC or go to a larger stage in some way?
Yeah, I think deep down I'm an idealist. And for a lot of my life, this idea of immigrating to America, the privilege that I have as compared to, you know, the people I know back home, my cousins and family who are going through so much strife and war, it always felt like I had to maybe earn the privilege of living here a little bit. And so talking through it with my friends, I think this idea that I had to stay and serve Wisconsin and really pay back little by little what it's done for me and my family has always been something that has rooted me here. And I think there's been obviously moments where for me specifically, where I feel especially when you're working in a gerrymandered legislature, how influential, how impactful is my voice? How impactful is the movement that I'm a part of here, and whether I'm impactful somewhere else? And so I think every time I hit that question that, you know, 26-year-olds, 23-year-olds do, which is this my home? Is this where I can really make a lot of change? I always end up back at the answer of, yeah, Madison is it for me. But I think a lot of people are struggling with a lot more than that. Is Wisconsin the place where, you know, you want to spend your 20s, where you want to raise a future family? And a lot of the policy decisions that we're making as a state, the legislative environment here, I mean, I can understand why people move away. And so I think it's deeply personal for everyone, but I really wish more people would stay here for sure.
And that, you know, why it's an interesting topic for me is because I did leave and I didn't have any expectation of moving back. Right.
Yeah.
Like when I went to LA to be an actress, and then I went to school, and then I was working in tech. And then even as I quit tech entirely and went back to entertainment, but more in a comedy, political comedy, fashion, my assumption was just like, well, I have to be in one of the three major places to do this. And like, that's just like the assumption that that's where you have to be. And now that I obviously have come back to Wisconsin and I've found a lot of success doing exactly what I want to be doing, which I'm incredibly grateful for, it opens the question of how do you let more people know that there is a lot of oxygen when you get out and like opportunity to do stuff, to create stuff, to carve your own path in places that are not so overwhelmingly competitive and populous. And so I'm always interested to talk to Gen Z young people who are making those choices, because I think there's a lot of people who do come back, and for sometimes it's not because they wanted to, it's because they hit a recession or the job opportunities that they had was no longer there and it just became comfortable to come back. But then it also goes to the point that you brought up as states become more and more partisan, meaning that Wisconsin is going to continue to make or potentially continue to make very different policy choices than Illinois. Do we just continue the big sort of people leaving who are more left, leaving to live in Illinois, leaving people here who are more right and vice versa? Or is there enough rooting people here to stay and continue to fight for the politics and the policies that they want, despite some of the challenges that have been baked in for at least a little while?
Yeah, I was reading this article about a bunch of academics nationwide following the overturning of Roe v. Wade, who rejected job offers from certain universities in states that are like Wisconsin, that are super kind of anti-reproductive choice and that are going to be incredibly harmful places for a lot of people moving forward. And it broke my heart a little bit, because I think these states where the Republicans have really let us down are the states where we should be invested in as people through mutual aid the most. So moving away and kind of abandoning those that don't have the privilege to choose other places is in a lot of ways kind of, I think it might be elitist in some respects. Mm-hmm. I think every person should obviously make the best decision for themselves and their family and their kids. But I think as for me, as a young adult that doesn't have, you know, isn't married, doesn't have children, as much as it is very difficult to stay in a state that isn't progressive, I find it that it's my duty to stay here and fight. And so this idea of brain drain where, you know, and I don't like that term very much, where we are viewing these states as inherently bad that we have to, you know, escape from, I think it's really detrimental to our future as Wisconsinites, for the people that do stay here as well. So it's a bit complex for me. And certainly on the policy legislative side, the terminology that's used around this concept in a lot of ways from Democrats is elitist.
Yeah. All right. Well, on an optimistic note, when we come back, I want to hear your wish list for Wisconsin. So we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.